gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
The Steph streamers get to hear all the good stuff at the top of the hour, don't they?
Oh, yeah. Wow, that was scintillating.
You started the day with the understatement of the year. That Jim Bunning's sort of a douche nozzle.
Yeah. He is.
Sort of. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, our phone number, toll free from anywhere to join the party. StephanieMiller.com. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris Lloyd, voice deity Jim Ward, Miranda at StephanieMiller.com, or me, Stephanie Miller. By the way, kids,
what?
Speaking of computers, you know everything on my computer is backed up with Carbonite. Why isn't yours? It gives me peace of mind. Don't risk losing your irreplaceable files and photos. Back up your computer today with Carbonite. Remember, use the offer code Stephanie for my special offer. Check this out. 15-day free trial, plus 2 months free with any subscription. That's Carbonite.com. Offer code Stephanie.
Sweet.
All right. We have Representative Donna Edwards coming up in less than half an hour to talk about the president's health care proposal, which he will put forth tomorrow.
Yes.
By the way, she's a doctor, but on our side, you don't have to keep saying I'm a doctor every 2 minutes like Tom Coburn. By the way, in case you've forgotten, I'm still a doctor, and I was 3.5 minutes ago. And by the way, I'm a doctor. Okay. Anyway, she's a doctor, you know, and she's coming up in less than half an hour. Also, Charlie Pierce, our pal from the Boston Globe, author of Idiot America, coming up in hour number two. Good morning, Miranda.
Good morning, Stephanie.
How goes the booking of Dick Durbin after I pinched his ass Saturday night?
No news yet, but we're working on it.
Thank you. Yes, I have. Oh, Chris, check this out. I have quite the, I'm getting some friggin' class and culture tonight.
Yeah.
Hang on, let me get something out of my teeth.
All right.
Oh, I'm going to the Paul Taylor gala tonight. It's a big dance company thing that my friend is involved with somehow.
What's a Paul Taylor?
He's a big, he's a fancy choreographer.
Oh, okay. It must mean something
so
in New York.
It's a big dance thing.
Okay.
It's some dance thing I'm going to in a gala that's black tie and I,
whatever.
Something. So, however, here's the downside. She's the friend that owns the Half Coyote and another small yappy dog that she's bringing to stay at my house tonight.
Oh, no.
Uh-huh. This is, you remember I had a small yappy dog named Pookie many, many years ago. You know, the smaller the dog, the more high-strung. This is the dog, Molly. I think I told you I stayed up at her place in Westchester over the holidays.
Mm-hmm.
And I told you, I said, can I make toast? And she said, well, okay, but Molly will bite you. And that turned out to be true.
She says yes.
Yeah. The toaster rubber makes her go insane, barking, and then she will also bite you. I'm not really sure what, but I'm prepared to pretty much all my neighbors will hate me by tomorrow, because she's like one of those, it's completely quiet up in the country where she lives, and yet she still finds something to just go insane about every 2 seconds. So in the city, I imagine she's going to have a nervous breakdown. She's already on Prozac, I believe. So anyway, but she's coming, and then the half coyote dog is also coming. So good luck to me.
Aha.
I've got dog house guest tonight.
Can I correct the record?
Sure.
I think,
Jim Bunning is a complete douche nozzle?
Well, that too. But Donna Edwards is a lawyer and community activist who is also a representative. I think you're thinking of Donna Christensen from the Virgin Islands.
Oh, I'm wrong then.
Yes.
But you know she's a lawyer.
She's a...
All right.
Yes.
My apologies.
So there you go. I just wanted to correct the record there.
All right. StephanieMiller.com is the website. Is Mama on the Joy Behar up there
it
yet?
It certainly is, thanks to Shano in Pittsburgh.
Thank you, Shano. Mama on the Joy Behar up from CNN Headline News last night. And then also the incriminating photo of me with Senator Dick Durbin from Saturday night at the DuPage County Democrats, soiree that we had in Chicago on Saturday night.
Chicago.
Here's something I didn't know, though. Julie from Seattle, breaking news I didn't know. Dear Steph, aren't you clever taking this compromising photo with the number two man in the U.S. Senate, Dick Durbin, just as he positions himself to succeed Harry Reid?
Huh? What? Huh?
Nobody's supposed to know this. This is from Roll Call.
Oh.
Senators mount quiet race to the top. They're just saying, should something politically befall Harry Reid, we're not saying that it will. Just saying, they're planning in advance.
It's good that they're, they've got a contingency.
Yes, roll call reporting. Hang on, where's this again? As Durbin and Schumer eye a potential race for Senate Majority Leader this fall. Wouldn't that be? So I need to get an incriminating photo of me with Chuck Schumer now so that I'm well-positioned when and if there is a new Senate Majority Leader.
He has an office in New York.
Yeah. I bet you I could get an incriminating photo in no time.
Going to go Here's around the city playing Ask
Brenda, I wasn't trying to. I wasn't trying to make an incriminating photo. I think I'm just naturally slutty. I didn't. Somebody's
like,
I'm doing a reach around, and I really was not. I was just snuggling up to him. But it does look a little like a prom photo, doesn't it? Like we're sort of.
Yeah. All he needed was the ruffled shirt and the big bow tie.
And I needed a wrist corsage.
Yeah.
I look like I'm spooning him. Anyway.
I have a wrist corsage made of a bird of paradise.
The winner is likely to be decided not on the basis of either lawmaker's political bent or their ability to spin in front of the TV cameras, but on what the rank and file really care about. What have you done for me lately? Clearly, they're both in political overdrive with their colleagues, said one Senate source of Durbin and Schumer. They're jockeying subtly. Subtlety not my strong suit, as you know.
No.
Meanwhile, a roll call reports Durbin does not yet appear to be close using his close relationship with President Obama yet. Because, you know, he's very close to him. He's the one that encouraged, he was his mentor, and he encouraged him to run, you know, Chris.
Yes.
We've talked to Senator Durbin about this. However, if he were leader, Durbin would be freed from his loyalties to Reid and likely take better advantage of his previous mentorship of Obama. You know what all this means, Chris. It means I'm going to get an invitation to play hoops at some point. You see what I'm saying? When he gets to be majority leader and then I use the incriminating photo to make sure that he makes a call to the White House, Mama's hook shot is back. 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, ladies and gentlemen.
So you'll succeed where those guys from the Buried Life failed.
Yes. I'm doing my own little reality show here. Screw them. All right. Julie also sends us some reconciliation fun facts, and they cannot be said enough. I believe we're in a very critical week for health care reform. By the way, call your representatives. There are, you know, Democrats on the fence that voted against health care in the House. Did you know that? This can't be. Okay, Mama, Rachel Maddow's favorite healthcare wonk, Urza Klein, he's great, provided these handy passing healthcare via reconciliation fun facts in the Washington Post. As he points out, they're not actually passing healthcare reform via reconciliation. It has already passed the Senate and the House. That's one of the big fat lies that Republicans keep telling on TV. And you know the more irritating thing to me, Chris, is no one corrects them.
Right.
How is it that a fart joke radio show has more senatorial constitutional fun facts? Can't television anchors do sort of rudimentary research? If I can fit this in between box wine and fart jokes, for God's sakes.
Can I correct you? It's Ezra Klein.
Okay, whatever. You see what I'm saying? What does happen when we have more credibility than any of the television networks? Anyway, because they keep saying that, right? They're, they can't even get a bill to pass themselves. How is that? They can't even get the bill to pass. It has passed.
Yes.
What, how do people not get that? It's already passed the Senate and the House. They're using reconciliation to pass essentially the 11 pages of Obama modifications to reconcile the Senate and the House bill. That's what the president's plan is. It's a reconciliation of the two bills, which is what always has to happen. I'm sorry. I'm in a little bit of a mood.
You're in a state. Do you need an aspirin?
What's his name?
Ezra.
Ezra.
E-Z-R-A, not Urza.
Ezra.
Yeah.
Ezra.
Ezra.
Reconciliation has, in general, been a Republican endeavor. Thank you. 19 times reconciliation was used between 1981 and 2005. 14 of them, Republican initiatives. If you extend that out to 2008, 16 of the 21 reconciliation bills were Republican. Now, Republicans are arguing that reconciliation has never been used for major legislation. Have you heard that talking point, Chris?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, not for something like this. Not for something of this scope. Not for health care.
I've heard that over and over again.
Yes. Well, guess what? That's it. That's not true.
Right. It's false.
So much.
The Republicans lying to you again.
Mm-hmm. And so any attempts to use the process to modify the health care reform bill would be a sharp break with precedents. President, that's wrong on two counts. Ezra writes.
Oh, jeez.
First, reconciliation has been used for major legislation almost constantly, particularly on health care reform. An NPR analysis concluded that over the past three decades, the number of major health care financing measures were not passed via budget reconciliation can be counted on one hand. Second, Democrats are not proposing to create the health care reform bill in reconciliation. Rather, they're using the process for a much more limited purpose, passing the 11 pages of ratifications that President Obama proposed to reconcile the House and Senate bills with each other. This is not a particularly ambitious use of the reconciliation process, and it's certainly not unprecedented. Ezra. His name is Ezra.
Ezra Klein.
Yes, exactly. Oh, and then I don't know if you saw it, Rachel Maddow last night played a whole, you know, a whole compilation of Fox News calling it the nuclear option.
I did.
It is not the nuclear option. That is not what it refers to at all. Oh,
Fox News gets a lot of things wrong, I've noticed.
Really?
Yeah.
It's weird, and I'm sure I couldn't statistically prove this, just in an oddly coincidental way, Chris, in an ironic coincidental way, it seems to always benefit Republicans.
Isn't it ironic? Don't you think?
Yeah, I really do think.
Okay. All right. I'm in a state, but at least I haven't written a snotty letter to George Will, as both of my sisters have at this point.
Oh, no.
How's that booking going, Miranda? Are we getting George Will on?
George
Just
Will.
Tell him I'm the fart joke sister. Tell him I'm a lot chucklier.
Done.
Yeah, he wrote a piece in which he compared Sarah Palin to my father, who ran with Barry Goldwater in 1964. Yeah. Can I have my fine American music? This is my other sister's letter.
Oh.
Not the whole, well, listen, it's not the whole thing. We're a long-winded family. I'll just read you selected. This is probably why he's not even taking Miranda. He's call-blocked Miranda at this point.
Yeah.
This is the third Miller sister now that's up his ass.
Oh, God.
Anyway, my sister Libby, she wrote the book about my father, Do You Know Me?
That's right.
Okay. Dear George, I'd written this immediately upon reading your article of February 18th, but held off sending it. But since my sister Mary just wrote, I decided to reinforce the message she voiced about our father, Bill Miller, as I think it's important to set the record straight about a man whom the media incredulously continues to belittle even to this day. Yeah, he was, by the way, Chris, I guess I'd mentioned, you know, Congressman, Chairman of the Republican Party, Nuremberg prosecutor. Yeah, you know.
Right.
Just a couple of things that Sarah Palin wasn't.
Yeah, he wasn't mayor of Wausau.
Although he doesn't know how to operate a Zamboni, and I'm sure she does.
It's a skill.
Yeah, it does take skill. Give her that.
She writes, in the end, as Hugh City once said to me, my dad had the grace to know when it was time to go home. Rather than cashing in on a lucrative lobbying job and remaining in Washington after running for vice president, he considered it unseemly to do so. How about that? How about that kind of Republican?
Yeah.
And so he had the humility to return to his hometown and to his roots and to his young wolf child, me. He had to work on the gray fangs and the unibrow. He was like, I got to do something about this.
Maybe he set you up with the Ponchillo brothers because he felt sorry for you.
I don't know that that's true, but I'm not certain.
Okay.
To live the rest of his life out of the glare of the spotlight that so many cannot leave among his dear friends and family, his qualifications for nomination 64 were certainly equal to or surpassed those of many who have received the same honors, Barry and many others at the time knew. To dismiss his impressive career and notable contributions in public life and write off his selection simply due to the fact that, quote, he annoyed Lyndon Johnson is not only unkind but simplistic. Although he did annoy Lyndon Johnson, that was just a bonus.
Right.
Finally, as my sister mentioned, to lump our father with Sarah Palin in any way is really insulting. I've watched numerous interviews with her, and while she may be cute and funny and gritty,
gritty?
I think that's being generous, she demonstrates an appalling lack of knowledge and insight into the complicated issues of today. When I recall Dad's frequent appearances on Face the Nation and Meet the Press, what I remember most is his incredible command of the facts, his ability and willingness to answer any and all questions straightforwardly. He was a fountain of information, which the media at the time very much appreciated. He was a devoted and effective public servant without ego who served his country and his party to the best of his ability. We, his family, would appreciate the media giving him the respect that he is due. Sincerely, Libby Miller Fitzgerald. So I would appreciate the respect I'm entitled to as well, George Will.
Why can't you give me the respect that I'm entitled to? Why can't you treat me like I would be treated by any stranger on the street?
Because I am not one of your fans!
Okay, Miranda, I will pay cash money if George Will actually screams that at you on the phone.
How much?
Fine. You don't have to come on the show. All right, 20 minutes after the hour. All right, back with where we going from here on healthcare as we await Representative Donna Edwards. She's a lawyer, you know, not a doctor. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 26 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. Oh, it's Hump Days with Hal tomorrow, isn't it? That ought to be awkward.
Actually, no, he's just going to be calling in because he's going to be in the Orient.
Well, and it'll be awkward anyway because it's the first time since our divorce.
Well, yes.
When we lived together last week in New York. So it'll be, you know, I would tune in for that. It'll be awkward.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number toll-free from anywhere to join the party. He's, I forget, what's he doing? He's off with some other floozies, isn't he?
Yeah, I think he... I think he's in Bangkok, but don't hold me to that.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Well, that'll, you know, and that can make a hard man humble, but not him.
Uh-huh.
All right, let's, well, there's a, you know, he, I prefer my kicks above the waistline.
Sunshine.
But no, not him.
Nope.
Okay. I'm just bitter. Don't mind me. All right, tomorrow, the big day, White House Press Secretary Robert Gibbs told reporters the president likely to announce his preferred way forward on health care tomorrow. Do we know what time, Christopher?
We do not know what time yet.
He said, Robert Gibbs said, I think he will discuss process and policy. He said, I don't believe the president believes an up or down vote is necessary. Yeah, and then a who. As I mentioned before, now is the time to get engaged. I know this has been a long slog. Trust me, the healthcare thing. But we're at a critical time, Christopher.
Mm-hmm. We certainly are.
If it's possible, the Republicans are fighting even harder. I mean, you know, when Eric Cantor is trying to be our friend, that we'll lose our majority if we do this to reconciliation. It's like, oh, he does care about us. Okay.
Uh-huh.
So 10 House Democrats indicated in an Associated Press survey yesterday they have not ruled out switching their no votes to yes on President Obama's health care overhaul. Get on the phones now to those people. Brightening the party's hopes in the face of unyielding Republican opposition, the White House tried to smooth the way for them, showing its own openness to changes in the landmark legislation, making a point of saying the administration is not using parliamentary tricks or loopholes to find the needed support. The White House said this will be his final way forward in this speech tomorrow. He's expected to embrace a handful of Republican ideas, as he already has.
Absolutely.
In his what he put forward at the healthcare summit. Republican ideas for making healthcare more efficient. Few in Washington think those gestures will be enough to persuade a single House or Senate Democrat, or excuse me, Republican to embrace the legislation. Yes, I think that's probably a wise guess. I think, as the president said, even if he said, okay, let's just do John Boehner's, they still wouldn't vote for it.
Right.
That could give wavering Democrats the political cover by showing the party has been willing to compromise, which they certainly have. So 29 minutes after the hour, we will talk to Representative Donna Edwards about what's next on health care as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I was like 100 pounds heavier and I had these crazy buck teeth.
Seriously?
No. I've always been hot.
34 minutes after the hour. 1-800. Excuse me. Step 12, the phone number.
Okay?
Toll free from anywhere. Mm-hmm. Toll free from anywhere. All right. As we continue our healthcare debate, Representative Donna Edwards coming right up. Nancy Pelosi yesterday talking about...
And in a matter of days, we will have our proposal. It will be a much smaller proposal than we had in the House bill, because that's where we can gain consensus.
Representative Donna Edwards joins us from the great state of Maryland. Good morning, Congresswoman.
Good morning, Stephanie.
What, you know, first of all, let's start with that. What did Speaker Pelosi mean? She's saying the president's proposal he'll put forward tomorrow will be smaller?
Well, I think that what she's saying is that we're trying to figure out where it is that we can get the broadest consensus among Democrats, because we know that we're going to have to pass this among Democrats alone. I mean, it was very clear from the summit that Republicans have a political interest, but they don't have any real interest in doing health care for the American people. And so we have to figure out how to construct this so that we move forward, a bill to get us started on the path of health care reform.
Now, you know, there's been some yesterday I was reading a story that said, you know, Speaker Pelosi said she does have the votes. And now there's been some, you know, disagreement as to whether she does or not. Where, I mean, how are you feeling about this right now?
Well, I'm actually feeling really good because I think on the, you know, I mean, the reality is that on the points that we most need support, we have the broadest consensus on, you know, eliminating exclusions for pre-existing conditions, on making sure that we expand access not just for a couple million people, but for millions and millions of people who don't have health care, on making it, you know, affordable. Those are things that we have always had broad consensus on, and the votes will be there for this.
Well, I don't know if you read, I was reading a piece in the New York Times, I think it was on Sunday, that, you know, what happens, and I think the president has consistently said this, that people seem to think, oh, if this doesn't pass, things just stay the way they are now. Things are not going to stay the way they are now.
Doesn't pass, things get worse.
Oh, yeah. Right. I mean, the cost, the amount of people that are going to be uninsured, I mean, really doing nothing is not an option, is it?
No, it's not an option. And here's what's happening. I mean, across the country, people are receiving their notices for increases in premiums. And we've already heard the outrageous stories of, you know, Anthem Blue Cross Blue Shield raising their, projecting or raising premiums of 39%, even though they can't tell you how that 39% is made up, and even though the reality is that we haven't had inflation. And so that's not a justification. And so we're going to see this across the country, and not just that, but people who have insurance with their employers. Employers are so constrained right now in this economic environment that they're looking for ways to cut their costs, not to increase them. And so we're going to see, you know, a lot more people are going to face the circumstance where they are losing their insurance, where their benefits are being cut. This is unsustainable. And the president already said this is tied to our economic future. Reforming our health care system is about doing something today that's really tied to our economic future. It's what is the difference between making us competitive and not. How can you compete on the world stage when every other country is assisting people with health care and businesses aren't bearing that burden, and we don't do it here in the United States?
Well, exactly. And I think, I'm thinking it was a landmark survey that I read that literally they're estimating 275,000 Americans will die in the next decade if we do nothing from lack of health insurance.
Well, that's,
I mean,
right.
If ever there was a crisis or a life and death situation, this is it.
That's right. Correct? And then investing in preventive care. I mean, for Pete's sake, we have people dying of things that they shouldn't die of because we've made an investment in sickness instead of in wellness. And so that's the difference in reforming this system. Look, you know, here's where we are right now. The president, for one last time, said, you know what, I'm going to try to bring Republicans and Democrats to the table. We're going to hear out all of their ideas. That's what they did in the summit. And what did we get? We got the Republicans grandstanding. We got them putting up old ideas that had been shot down decades ago. And it's really clear they have an interest only in killing reform. And so that's why Stephanie, we've talked about this before. I have long said, I don't believe that they're interested in working with us to really change and reform the health care system. Forget it. Let's just do what we need to do for the American people and stand up as Democrats and defend it.
And, you know, Congresswoman Edwards, they're twisting themselves into hypocritical pretzels. I don't know if you saw Senator Lamar Alexander said this will be the end of the Senate if Democrats try to use reconciliation.
Oh.
And then, by the way, he didn't use reconciliation to repeal it, should Republicans regain the majority.
It wasn't the end of the Senate when reconciliation was used for so-called welfare reform. It wasn't the end of the Senate when it was used to give the tax breaks to the wealthiest, 1-2% of the American taxpayers. You know, I mean, it hasn't been the end of the Senate when the reconciliation process has been used dozens of times over the last couple of decades.
Yes, mostly by Republicans.
Exactly. So they understand the process. You know, here's the thing. We're out there making all this sausage, and it's really, you know, horrible to look at. When it's all said and done and the American public has health care, they're not going to ask you how you made the sausage. They're going to say it really tastes good.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Congresswoman, I mean, you obviously saw this healthcare summit where, you know, one after another, they are quoting polls. And, you know, as the president rightly pointed out, it is interesting, isn't it, that you if you ask Americans about each component of the bill, they're for it. And then if you say, are you for the president's bill, people, you know, the majorities are saying no now because of all the, I think, Republican misinformation out there. How do we combat that?
Well, we combat it by finishing the job. So that we can then, we then are in a position of talking about what we've done instead of all of the, you know, various mechanics and tools of what we think we might do and what the Senate is doing and the House is doing and what the President is proposing and what Republicans have out there. We talk about what we've done. And so I think it's imperative. The President has said we want this done in the next 4 to 6 weeks. I think it's imperative for us to get that done. And then we can begin implementing what the American people want in the individual components. Mm-hmm. But it's much easier for us to, you know, to celebrate and talk about what we're what we've done for the American people once we've done it.
Mm-hmm. Congresswoman, I have to say it is very bad news for the American people, but I hate to say it, maybe good news politically, that Senator Jim Bunning is really putting a face on Republican obstructionism that is, you know,
well,
exactly
it,
what we've been trying to say for the last year, is this is just obstructionist, it's mean-spirited, it is preventing Americans from getting the help they need.
Well, I don't even, you know, Maryland, where I'm from, we have one of the lowest unemployment rates in the country, but we have people who are unemployed and who need unemployment compensation. Tell you one thing, our unemployment is better than Kentucky's. The people in Kentucky must be having a fit right now that they're not able to receive unemployment benefits because their senator decided that, you know, he was really annoyed with having to stick around and make the argument to miss a basketball game.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I mean, you know, the thing is, Congresswoman, it's not even just unemployment benefits. I mean, there are all these, you know, it's transportation authorities, it's projects that are just coming to a halt because of one guy.
Well, that's right. And I mean, I know in my state and across the country, we have transportation projects. We know that states are sorely underfunded and they've needed the resources provided by the federal government to get to have these transportation projects going. And it's not just about the projects. People are working. And so Mr. Bunning would rather make his do his political grandstanding and really expose the party for what it is than ensure that unemployment compensation, COBRA benefits, transportation projects, water and sewer projects, all of the rest of those things continue. And, you know, I just think if the public really sees them for what they are, and it really is outrageous.
Congresswoman, let me ask you one more thing on health care, because, you know, you speak of polling, and the public option has consistently polled at maybe 70% approval rating. Five more Democratic senators have signed on to the, you know, this letter of it to support the public option if it's included in the reconciliation bill, Durbin, Murray, Bingaman, Cardin, and Klobuchar. I mean, and yet, you know, we still keep hearing, oh, that's not going to happen. Is there a chance? I mean, is there a tipping point where people will say, look, if we're doing reconciliation, why aren't we getting what the people really want?
Well, I think it is still possible, and the fact is that the public option is the one thing out there that actually saves us money. And so, you know, what is very clear, people are so smart. I go back into the communities in my congressional district, and they understand this. They understand competition, and they understand that as long as insurance companies can enjoy the kinds of monopolies and duopolies that they do in the states and there's no real competition, they don't stand a chance. That's why the public option, despite being beaten and beaten and beaten, still remains at the top of the game. And I'd like us as Democrats, and I know I've signed on to a letter that's gone over to the Senate and to our leadership and to the President, you know, saying we're still behind the public option. And so I want to keep it out there. I think it's important for your listeners to know that because it is the one thing that really does save us money.
Well, exactly. And I, you know, I agree with you that I don't understand why, you know, I think the polling does show the Republicans have done a good job in muddying the waters and putting up enough untruths that some, you know, parts of the bill are not understandable. But you're right. That's really understandable. Blue Cross just raised premiums 39% in one state because they can. Do you think it'd be a good idea to have a public option? I mean, people, you're right, overwhelmingly say yes.
I mean, I understand why the insurance companies are fighting this tooth and nail, why they spent millions and millions of dollars on television ads and lobbying fighting this, and the reason is because they know they know, as well as the public does, that it'll be real competition. And, you know, for all of the folks out there who, you know, make claims of believing in the free market, why is it that we can't have a free market here? Why is it that they don't mm-hmm. want competition here? And so I'm glad to see that more senators have signed on, and I think that, you know, the majority leader is going to start to take a look at his members. If we need reconciliation, you know, and get to a majority, and let's stop calling it reconciliation. It's just a majority. It's a majority.
Yep, absolutely. Simple majority.
We operate
absolutely.
In majorities. And so we need a majority in the Senate. We need a majority in the House, and the majority of the American people support the public option. More than that, the majority of the American people really support reform. They just don't like all of the political gamesmanship that's gone on to get us there. Yep. Once we do it as Democrats, you know, it's going to be like Social Security and like Medicare. We will do this. We will feel good about it. We'll be the party that stands up for working people. I don't know what those other guys are doing.
Yep, here, here. Good for you. I have to ask you one more thing before you go, because I hope you don't mind. I used the Google on you.
And that's all right.
You went to Wake Forest University in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. That's where my brother went, and I see you're the same age as my brother.
Oh, my
God. Did you know my brother Bill by any chance? He was just another Republican frat guy.
I'm gonna go look him up. You know what? We have our Demon Deacons. We have our 30-year class reunion coming up in October.
Oh.
I'm planning to be there, and so maybe he'll be there too.
Yeah.
you could look for Bill Miller and say, I understand you're the Republican brother that hung Stephanie Miller when she was a child, which he did. He did.
And then I'll tell him a lot of good it did you.
She made it. All right, Representative Donna Edwards, go Deacons. Thanks for coming
you,
on
go
with
Deacons.
Us.
Bye.
All right. There she goes. The Deacons, they're having the reunion.
Huh.
Same age as my brother.
Wow.
Okay.
I love
saying.
Her.
Yeah, she's awesome. All right. Yeah, my brother was just a, you know, another white Republican frat boy. All right.
Kind of like
she
Jim.
Probably didn't notice. They were all. Do you know she was one of only six black women in her class at Winston-Salem, North Carolina?
Really?
At Wake Forest University.
Wow.
In Winston-Salem. Wowee. All right. She's a little bit my vintage, a little bit older. All right. 40.
I don't think Donna Edwards is 70.
I make it sound like she went to school in the 20s.
Right.
Yeah. 47 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's life-altering. It's soul-changing. It's the summit of all human desire.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Mm-hmm. 52 minutes after the hour. Oh, all right. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. She was awesome, Representative Donna Edwards.
Yeah, absolutely.
She needs to be our official spokesperson or something for health care.
Yeah, one of the people who works here at the station here came in and said she needs to be the voice of the Democratic Party on all of these matters because she was funny, she knew her stuff.
Her and Rachel Maddow, so I can stay home on the couch drinking. Right. I listened. All right. Speaker Pelosi yesterday on the health care
bill.
It will
be big enough to put us on a path of affordable, quality health care for all Americans, that holds the insurance companies accountable.
All right. So while Senator Jim Bunning is, he's basically holding up the douche nozzly front of the Republican Party at present, Lamar Alexander is a close second, don't you think?
Yeah.
I mean, this is the biggest, yeah, that I've ever, I... So he attacked Democrats for considering using reconciliation to pass health care reform, saying it would be the end of the Senate. Hyperbole much? Yet Alexander himself has voted for bills using reconciliation at least four times.
Mm-hmm.
So he was almost complicit in the death of the Senate preview. Why didn't it die then, I wonder? He also said if Democrats pass health care, he will lead the GOP charge to repeal it. Wait for it. Possibly with reconciliation.
Ah,
Which I guess then would once again magically be okay again. And not be the death of the Senate.
Well, how can you end the Senate twice? Every time, if every, huh?
Exactly. It lacks a little credibility, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
He said we'll spend the rest of the year in the campaign to try to repeal it. He would not rule out using reconciliation to... But not before he gives us a stern warning, because he has our best interests at heart.
I'm afraid that they're aiming toward what is a political kamikaze mission. I mean, the country has said in every way they know how. Town meetings, elections, public opinion polls. We don't want this bill.
I wonder if he could explain why Americans are for each and every component that's in the bill. They're just not aware it's in the bill because of big obstructionist boobs like you.
Yeah.
Oh, could he have been more condescending to the president in that healthcare summit? Oh,
that may work in a classroom. But, you know, here in the real world, it's like, oh, thank you. Thanks for the...
Spitball at him.
Yeah. Thanks for the... you know, we're just too big and complex a country, Mr. President. You don't understand.
Republicans don't like to think big.
Mm-hmm. Okay, here he is with his...
It would turn the Senate... It would really be the end of the United States Senate as a protector of minority rights, as a place where you have to get consensus instead of just a partisan majority. And it would be a political kamikaze mission for the Democratic Party if they jam this through.
Thanks for the warning.
Yeah.
All right, ooh. Yikes. Consider us warned. Here, once again, must I do the fun facts, Chris? Reconciliation has been used to pass at least 19 bills, including major pieces of health care reform legislation. 14 times the reconciliation was employed, it was used to advance Republican bills. Furthermore, I think, as I pointed out, Alexander himself personally voted for reconciliation at least 4 times.
Right.
Wow, the Senate's been through at least 4 near-death experiences, all because of Lamar Alexander. So I guess it's been on life support all this time, despite 19 attempts to kill it, Republican attempts alone. But it will not survive this one, apparently.
No.
Because it's something that... All right. Here's the... once again, I'm sure completely unintentional, but the Republicans seem to be getting quite a bit of help from the Fox News in their misinformation campaign about
speaking of that, Gretchen Carlson of Fox and Freaks just called Senator Bunning fearless for his stand against providing unemployment benefits.
Oh, heavens.
Yeah.
Isn't he brave?
He's so brave.
Okay. You know what? Must I even say? I wonder what the Fox and Freaks would say if that were a Democrat.
Right.
I wonder. I'm sure that it would be because they're fair and balanced, Chris. That Democrat would also be
brave.
Okay, so conservatives, especially the Fox News, have been trying to rebrand the long-standing Senate process known as reconciliation as the nuclear option.
Computer says no.
Which is not what it is at all. That, by the way, Chris, another fun fact. That was I think, as we've mentioned, a phrase that Republicans coined.
That's right.
Because you say they were threatening to unilaterally change the rules of the Senate in 2005 to prohibit the filibuster on judicial nominations. That's when they called it a nuclear option, you see, because it was so. This is not changing a rule, Chris. It is a rule of the Senate reconciliation that's been used many times, as I've pointed out. Fox News' Greg Jarrett. Oh, as you know, they've made a point of saying he's not an opinion commentator, Chris. He's a straight news anchor.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
He declared reconciliation is a warm and fuzzy phrase that has been recently coined to change the name of what used to be called the nuclear option. Only in Washington would they try to do that. Greg.
Never called the nuclear option.
In an interview on a radio show, Britt Baer said reconciliation or the nuclear option. People aren't calling it the nuclear option, but that's exactly what it is. No. You also. 58 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
I'm walking on sunshine.
Charlie Pierce coming off this hour.
Yes.
Our Boston Globe buddy. Our Tuesday pal with the morning, everybody. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, stephaniemiller.com, the website. Check it out. Mama and Joy Behar is up there in the YouTubes section. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice deity Jim Ward, and me, Stephanie Miller. Good morning, Jim.
Morning.
Here's something that's probably not breaking news to you. Someone sent me. A new study finds, on average, people who identify as liberal and atheist had higher IQs. This also applies to sexual exclusivity in men, but not in women.
How so?
What, stupid people sleep around?
I guess that as many times I've been called a liberal slut, and people were pretty much correct on that.
Wait a minute. So Bill Clinton is dumb, is what you're saying?
I don't think it implies to each and every person, Jim. There are exceptions. By the way, did you hear that one of the Elliot Spitzer hookers might run for governor
Spitzer, not a dumb guy.
No, but one of the hookers might run for governor here in New York, for comedy purposes.
That's great.
Come on, we could just, you can get the hooker scandal out of the way right away, because the governor is a hooker, and then we can get on with governing the state. Just saying. All right. Somebody has sent me a future husband's tech. You know, things are tough out there. People are angry.
I've heard.
Police arrested a South Bend man for drunk driving after other motorists reported their vehicles were struck by a hose from a gasoline pump dangling from the fuel tank.
Oh, no.
Who hasn't done that a time or two? You drive away.
Who hasn't blown up a gas station?
That's hysterical.
What a scamp. Wow.
Stephanie, you've come close to doing that, haven't you?
I know you. I have not done that, surprisingly enough. One would think that I might have, but I haven't. That guy who bulldozed his home might take his business out next with the, boy, oh boy, people just not really thinking clearly in this economy.
There's an update to this story that I'll tell you about after this.
All right. Mm-hmm. Okay. Terry Lee Hoskins, who demolished his house 2 weeks ago rather than let it be foreclosed on by a bank, might not be done with his bulldozer. He owns the same bank, about $600,000 on his business, Terry's Carpet. He wouldn't roll out demolishing the business as well.
He just found out that if he had auctioned off his business, he could have saved his house.
Oh, it's like some really weird Gift of the Magi in reverse on crack. That's too bad.
Yeah, bless his heart.
Man angry at his wife crushes 30 cars with a backhoe. In Lyons, New York, authorities say an upstate New York man angry with his wife used a backhoe to demolish more than 24 demolition derby cars.
I see.
Just a little angry. How about this guy? This from India. Could I have my India music, please? Wonder what the correct air traffic controller term for having a drunk naked dude on the runway who's getting in the way of landing planes?
Does it happen that often that you have a code for that?
A stark naked and intoxicated man forced, I somehow sensed there might have been drinking involved, forced the closure of a runway in India on the weekend after jumping a fence and wandering onto the taxiway. By Jove.
Oh, yes, by Jove. Oh, no. What are you doing?
That's funny. All right. I just pictured what that sounded like when they... when the air traffic control had to talk to the pilots. There's a what? On the runway where?
There's a naked drunk man on the runway, and he is eating beef.
Oh, no.
Take him out with the extreme prejudice, by Jovo, yes.
Oh,
I'm calling. Where am I calling from? From Bangalore, Maine. That's where I am. Oh, boy. Go Jets.
Just use any runway. Okay. See, that's because you always get the guy in India on tech support, and I never know what any key means.
Press
I'm always
like,
I can't find out which key is the any key.
No. Press any key.
Is that near delete?
You have a keyboard?
Uh-huh.
Yes. There are keys on the keyboard.
Yes.
Press any of the keys on the keyboard.
I don't see
press
it.
Press any
it says
key.
Any. I don't see
you
it.
You don't need to have anything that says any, you stupid woman. What are you... Oh,
That's our little impromptu skit by the Stephanie Miller Players, because I think I actually haven't had that conversation with a tech support person, because I am that stupid. I'm that person.
Well, that's why you always have to have them come to your house. Mm-hmm. You really don't do tech support over the phone, do you? You always have them come out.
No, they have to come show me.
Yeah.
Because I don't know which keys are which.
It's not plugged in.
I have had that happen
your problem.
Once. I have had that happen. Yes. A cord got knocked out in the back. That's what happened. Okay, there's only one thing to do now, and that is beaver stack. Julie sends a, oh, this is a mama. The reintroduction of beaver to Scotland. Woo! That can't have been a good, good time for Sean Connery before this. Thank God beaver has been reintroduced.
Yes. Beaver galore, you might say.
It could have an interesting role to play when it comes to predicting severe winters like the present one. Who knew beaver? Well, that's a talented beaver. Which caught so many people unaware and caused chaos around the world. According to the Scottish Wildlife Trust, beaver can sense impending weather changes.
Okay. And I know where Rangers or Celtic will win.
And will build higher and roomier lodges if they anticipate bad weather conditions. Oh, you wouldn't believe what I built when I knew all these storms were coming to New York, Jim.
Big beaver lodge?
It is roomy in there. We're learning a lot about beaver habits, and we found this out very recently, said the chief executive. It's obviously not based on scientific fact, but people observing beaver behavior have noticed that when they start increasing their food storage areas, then we can expect a tough winter. Yeah, I got a lot of canned goods stocked in there, and, you know.
Nice beaver.
Thank you. I just had it stuffed.
I've experienced periods of beaver drought, but that's a...
You really? Well... Thank God you're okay now. All right. Jim,
yes.
Have you noticed that, as Chris LeBoy pointed out earlier, Jim Bunning's being a bit of a douche nozzle.
And an asshat.
Yes.
Didn't think he could do both at the same time, but he's accomplished
In addition
that.
To his asshattery. Exactly. Yeah, one guy. One guy, ladies and gentlemen, is holding up the, what do you call it? I mean, unemployment benefits. It's not just that, right, Chris? We've got transportation jobs that have come to a halt. Dogs and cats living together.
Cobra has been suspended?
Yes. Wow.
Yeah.
400,000 laid-off workers may have lost their unemployment benefits. Cobra subsidies to help defray health care costs have expired. Loans for small businesses ran out of time, all because of douche nozzle Jim Bunning. Boy, when you know Senator James Inhofe says you're being an asshat, you're really being an asshat.
Yeah.
Senator Jim Inhofe called on him to move aside. He pointed out the bill also contains transportation funding, an expiration that could lead to furloughs of employees of the Federal Highway Administration. Indeed, today 2,000 federal transportation workers have been furloughed without pay. Thank you, douche nozzle. Because of the shutdown, federal inspectors will be removed from critical construction projects, forcing work to come to a halt on federal lands. Projects span the country, including, like bridges. What could ever go wrong with bridges?
Right, yeah.
The Humpback Bridge on the George Washington Parkway in Virginia, $15 million in bridge construction and stream rehabilitation in Idaho, $8 million resurfacing of a parkway in Mississippi.
Why does he hate jobs?
1.5 million people may also be unable to watch local TV stations beginning today because of Bunning's block on the bill, which includes a satellite television extension allowing rural residents to watch TV stations via satellite.
And yet they'll still be able to watch Fox News.
I know, it's weird. They'll still get that. Jim Bunning.
If we can't find $10 billion to pay for something that we all support, we will never pay for anything on the floor of this U.S. Senate.
What? Wow. Seriously, that is the game show of today. What is up Jim Bunning's ass? Anybody know what is up his ass?
He's not running for re-election. And so, you know, anything goes for Jim Bunning. And he wants to make a point that the Democrats passed PAYGO, and he wants to make a point that the Democrats are not following PAYGO.
I see. So he essentially is giving the middle finger, not just to that to that ABC producer,
right,
off camera, who apparently he flipped off yesterday.
Yeah.
But to the American people in general. He said tough to Senator Jeff Merkley of Oregon when he pleaded with him to please drop the hole because it's hurting people.
It's kind of Cheney-esque.
Oh, did you see he refused to answer questions running to the senator's only elevator? Apparently, that's a no-question zone, Jim. You can't, when you're in the senator's only elevator,
Excuse me. This is for important people.
What an asshat. Jim Bunning again yesterday.
We passed PAYGO.
Oh.
For those who don't know what PAYGO is, it means you have to pay for everything that you bring before the Senate.
Like the Iraq War, for instance? And,
Both wars, actually. And the tax cuts for the top 1%.
Ultra rich.
They didn't do that back then.
No. White House Press Secretary Robert Gibbs.
Hundreds of thousands of people who've lost their job and lost their health care because of that. And their unemployment benefits, all of that is threatened because one person has decided to stop the entire process.
Yeah, I mean, it really is amazing. But I said this to the congresswoman earlier, Chris, that I hate to say it, but politically, I suppose this is good timing for health care.
Sure.
You're like, this is the face of the Republican Party today.
Absolutely.
This is what it looks like. You know, to make a political point, they don't care if people suffer. Senator Harry Reid.
Last night, more than a million of them, people throughout America went to sleep relying on those benefits, woke up without the confidence they'll be there now.
Yeah. Oh, and Harry Reid made the same points that I just made about the other things. Suddenly,
but where was my friend from Kentucky when we had two wars that were unpaid for during the Bush administration? Tax cuts that cost more than $1 trillion, unpaid for. Where was my friend and the Republicans objecting to that?
I see.
Well, apparently
there
wasn't a college basketball game then that he
right.
Vice President Biden.
It'll mean that state and local governments won't get paid for projects they've already done. It means furloughing 2,000 people this week alone.
Yeah. So there. There you go. Ah, he's got to look at his mug. Is on CNN right now.
Yep.
He's just grabbing all the FaceTime he can.
The stunning bunning.
Exactly. Exactly.
Stunning, not in a good way.
Yeah.
Not in a Steve King kind of way. All right. Kids, you know, he's making my head hurt. And I think I mentioned to you yesterday, Chris, that my ass hurts. And why?
Oh.
P90X, of course.
Uh-huh.
Wow. This workout is, it's the best workout I've ever done. I'm telling you, because I tended to get into the same ruts, like doing the same thing over and over. Yesterday I did back and legs. And
literally kicks your ass.
Yeah, literally.
Literally.
Exactly.
I don't think that particular DVD is called the ass DVD, though.
It's called Legs and Back.
Yes.
There's something coming up today. I forget what it is, but I'm not. I'm terrified. Every new DVD, I'm like, oh no. And then I end up loving it.
Yep.
I can do it at home. I don't have to go to the gym. I've always taken my health seriously. I've always worked out. But a friend had told me if I want the best workout of my life, try P90X. And I love it. It's a home workout. It includes strength training, cardio, yoga. Every day is different, and it works your body from every different angle. I'm going to be taking the P90X. I already am. I am in mid-P90X challenge, and I'm telling you, it's motivating me, Chris, on a lot of different fronts. I'm eating better. Since I moved, I got out of my regular schedule, I was eating differently, and,
right.
You know, and those pounds creep on.
It's not so, pizza 3 times a day anymore?
No. I'm doing the P90X program now, and it saved me from myself. Take the P90X challenge with me. Check this out. You can get a 90-day radio-exclusive in-home trial. You can try it with Mama for the full 90 days if you aren't completely satisfied. Return it for a refund. Call now, 800-509-9438. That's 800-509-9FIT. That's 800-509-9FIT. Get it?
Mm-hmm.
Or go right to my website now, stephaniemiller.com. Click on the banner ad. 19 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Welcome to the party barn. May we take your order? It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 24 minutes after the hour, Sue in Rockville, Maryland. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Sue.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
I have a question. If mm-hmm. the Republicans are so absolutely sure that the American people are against the Democratic health care proposal, why wouldn't they vote for it? Because the elections are coming in November, and if people really hate it, they'll clean sweep us right out of office.
You may be the smartest girl in class this morning, Sue in Rockville.
Oh,
yes,
thank you. Can I mention one other thing?
Yes.
It is Dr. Seuss's birthday today, and in honor of him, I have rewritten The Cat in the Hat. It is the cat in the ass hat. It is the story of Jim Bunny.
Can we have some music, please? Thank you. Go ahead. Oh, you don't have it? Sue? Oh, she just... Oh, no, I see. It was just a little...
Yes.
Just a title.
Oh,
that's
okay.
Funny.
That was... Okay.
I thought she had a whole little...
A whole thing.
Fine.
Skit.
Okay.
You're used to
a
people
skit.
Writing skits for you. You're surprised when they... What?
Jim?
You just have the title? What am I going to do with that?
I thought she was taking over stand-up news for you. Well, fine. All right. Regina in Oakland on Jim Bunning. Hello, Regina.
Yes. Hi, Stephanie. I'm just a little confused on how it's boiled down to one person. Does that mean all other 99 senators are for doing the COBRA, et cetera, renewing it, and he's filibustering? How is it just one man?
How is it? Well, because that's the problem is, you know, this is what can happen. This is the way that Republicans are using this obstructionism. They really are taking it.
Is there a filibuster? Is that what it is? But all the other Republican senators would have voted for this, but he's holding it up to a filibuster?
Chris, is what he's doing...
I just got an email from someone who said that Jim Bunning is just a point man on this because he isn't running for re-election.
That's right.
Repealing the estate tax for the very rich. Last night on Ed's show, Tom Harkin pointed out that other Republicans are stepping up to relieve Bunning on the Senate floor. So it's an orchestrated effort, not Bunning by himself. This is the GOP playing politics with people's lives for profit.
Okay. So it is an orchestrated thing. It's not just one person.
It's an orchestrated filibuster. Is that right?
It's not a filibuster, but... you know, they have to keep renewing these things that they've passed, you know, the unemployment benefits and all of that, and they're keeping it from being renewed.
So Jim Bunning's getting
on the
camera
time. So they're using him as
the point person. Right, because he's not running for re-election.
But he's not the only one really holding it up. All the Republicans are.
Yeah.
Pretty
correct.
Much, yeah.
Okay, Regina, thank you. Yeah, I mean, which is, again, perfect illustration why we need to go forward on health care reform.
Yep.
Chris, the headline right now on CNN is Bunning blocks jobs bill. Now, that's separate, isn't it, from what he's doing now? I mean, the jobs bill, I mean, that's what I'm saying. I've just never seen this in my lifetime. They literally are just against everything.
They are
not going to vote for anything. I mean, it's just...
It sounds like they're pissed off that the black man won the presidency.
It seems like that, yeah. Doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Hmm. Okay, Andy and Madison on the public option. Hello, Andy.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Hi. Good. Go ahead.
I was going to say that the Republicans keep pointing to the public opinion polls that the American people don't want President Obama's current health care plan to go through. And actually, what they want is the public option.
Yeah, right. They want them. That's what I keep saying,
they keep leaving out
Andy.
That
they
part.
Want a much more liberal health care plan than is currently on the table.
Right, and they keep leaving that out. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm sure it's
just an oversight.
Yes, an oversight, I'm quite certain. Andrew and Charlotte, real quick. Hey, hello, Andrew.
Good morning, Miss Hottie. hope your mom is prepared for some more snow today.
Oof.
Uh-oh.
Hey, real quick, you played a clip from Jim Bunning saying that we passed PAYGO, and don't forget they filibustered PAYGO, executive order number one.
Oh, it was an executive, yeah.
Yeah, so they didn't pass anything, obviously. Number two, the deal is he's objecting to unanimous consent, which would force the bill through regular channels, which would obviously just drag it out. That's what he's doing. That's how he's able to hold it up.
Mm. Yep. All right. Thank you, honey. Yeah, I mean, Jim, we keep making this point over and over, but this president is not socialist. He is far from it. This is the thing. He is so centrist. They are just unprecedentedly obstructionist.
Well, yeah.
They're obstructing anything that he's for, and
but he's forcing them to become completely unhinged.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. 29 minutes.
So he may be playing chess in that way.
Uh-huh.
Right back with Charlie Pierce from the Boston Globe next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I've been a hookie and a hooker. I've been a little bit loose, but money never changed hands.
A likely story.
Right.
34 minutes after the hour, the Dow is up 10 points, and it's Tuesday, which means that our Tuesday pal is here. Charlie,
there's only one man now that understands.
And that's the author of Idiot America.
Pierce.
Charlie Pierce, the funniest writer in the world, from the Boston Globe.
Why is everybody always laughing with me?
Good morning, Charlie.
I love my jingle. There are many like it, but this one is mine.
Your jingle makes you giggly.
It
now,
does.
Charlie, you're a well-known chronicler of asshattery. What do you think of the Jim Bunning situation?
Well, you know, this is a little inside baseball humor for people who are as old as I am. The 1964 St. Louis Cardinals are looking more lovable even by the day. Jim Bunning was on the 1964 Philadelphia Phillies, who collapsed epically. Whose collapse at the end of the season is the collapse all collapses are measured by. And they collapsed to the St. Louis Cardinals. So that joke is funny to anybody over the age of like 50 who listens to your show and is a baseball fan, which I know is your prime demographic.
Yeah, that's that rule almost checks, but okay.
I will tell you something that I'm sort of with the senator from Kentucky on. In principle, I'm like not opposed to flipping off ABC News. You know, I have to say that in a general sense, you know, fine. But I think when you're out there, you know, screwing people out of their unemployment benefits in the worst recession in 60 years, you know, that's maybe not the time to be doing that.
Yeah, well,
the idea that, you know, other people are climbing into the clown car, like
right.
John Kyle.
Yep, there he is on CNN right now.
And
yep.
The rest of these guys say, well, you know, we can't let these unemployed people have too much because then they'll get fat and lazy and they won't go to work at jobs that aren't there.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, somebody, which Republican was it, Chris, that used the word hobos yesterday? We're feeding a nation of hobos.
Yes, no kidding.
Yes.
Really? So I can, you know, there's like merry guys singing songs and strumming guitars and playing harmonicas around the, you know, trash can fire down by the railroad these days. Oh, I'm sorry, we don't have railroads anymore either.
Yeah, I mean, I hate to say it
for a hobo.
I hate to say it, Charlie, but in some ways, it's good timing for us on health care reform, isn't it? I mean, this just looks stupid and mean spirited and obstructionist.
Yeah,
dare I say it?
But never one, you know, to look a gift horse in the mouth when the opportunity is there to put its head up the horse's butt. The Democratic Party adjourns last weekend rather than make this idiot talk all weekend and be the focus of the news.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not handling this well either. And this is easy. I mean, this is to continue the baseball metaphor, a fastball right down the middle of the plate.
Yep.
Put this guy on TV. Make this guy the face of everything you despise about the other guys.
Yeah. What, you know, I hear that a lot, Charlie, about why don't they make them filibuster like they used to? But didn't, I mean, wasn't that part of what, when they changed the rules back in the 70s?
You still have to do it. I mean, you shouldn't take the threat of a filibuster as a filibuster. You know, you shouldn't accept the possibility of something as of being the reality of it.
Right.
Because in that case, you're paralyzing yourself.
So Charlie, the president obviously tomorrow is going to come forward with his how he wants this to go on health care. How are you feeling today? What are you thinking?
Well, I hate to say it, but it sounds like it's moving forward in incremental steps. And I wish I could remember from my Jesuit philosophy classes the name of the thing where if you walk half the distance towards the wall, in theory, you never really get there. But that's really what it seems like right now. Mm-hmm. It's somebody's paradox. I can't remember whose paradox it is. But if you walk half the distance and then half the distance and then half the distance, you never really get there. But this one, it looks like it. Zeno's paradox. There we go. Thank you, Father,
you
are. he's long gone to the faculty club in the sky.
You got a lifeline. Someone gave you a lifeline.
I used my lifeline to heaven. It looks like some form of it's going to get passed. Now, the problem is, is what gets passed? You know, going to be in any way effective, and is it going to redound to the credit of the people who have to work to pass it? That I don't know. And I'll be very interested to see what he says tomorrow.
You know, I had Representative Donna Edwards on this morning, and, you know, I had to ask because I have to. You know, obviously five more senators have signed on to this public option letter, and, you know, it depends on who you ask, but she doesn't think it's dead. I mean, I do think that there could be a tipping point that where, you know, if you keep talking about polling, why aren't we trying to get through reconciliation what the majority of the American people want?
Well, because the majority of the American people, because we don't teach civics in our schools anymore, and because the Republican Party has a tremendous propaganda machine, and because the people who don't want this passed have a tremendous propaganda machine, don't understand what reconciliation is. And they've been convinced that it's somehow undemocratic, when in fact, you know, when you hear people talking about passing the health care bill through reconciliation, that's just inaccurate. The bill's already been passed. You sign off the bill, and then you fix it in reconciliation.
Right.
Which
you're
is
basically
perfectly legitimate use of the reconciliation process, as near as people I know who have worked in legislatures have told me is.
Right.
I mean, I think maybe Lawrence O'Donnell knows what this is, you know, knows all the ins and outs. But he may be the only one in America who's, like, alive that knows this.
Well, that's the thing. It really is just a simple majority vote. It is not, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, I have to say, even for Fox News, that has been incredibly blatant. How they are literally keep calling this the nuclear option when they know full well it has nothing to do with that.
Well,
that is not the nuclear option.
That's another lie, which is to bring out that phrase and say what you're referencing. The nuclear option is getting rid of the filibuster. We all know what that is. That's what the Republicans threatened to do because the judges weren't getting passed through fast enough, was to take away the filibuster forever. And everybody remembers that. You know, and there are people at Fox News who know that because there are people at Fox News who put up the nuclear option graphic back during the Bush administration when they were trying to get, you know, various cavemen appointed and cave people and cave women appointed to the federal bench. So, you know, we must be diverse here. You know, we have gone too
cave
far
people.
Into... You know, we have gone too far into my segment without discussing the real political issue of the day, which
What's
is
that?
The New York Times cover story on my new Senator Scott Brown last weekend.
Oh, where I read parts of it yesterday on the air.
He fessed up to going on his first date with his now wife wearing a pair of $750 pink leather shorts.
Yes.
I'm not like the macho guy on the show. We leave that to Chris and Jim.
Yeah, right.
But doesn't like the $750 pink leather shorts sort of trump the barn coat and the pickup truck? You know, macho wise.
Yes, it certainly does.
I mean, in the great bank balance of testosterone, isn't that aren't you sort of overdrawn when you wear those?
Oh yeah.
And what was really hilarious about them was he got them for free.
Yes,
he got them
for modeling.
A photo shoot.
It was swag.
You think he just sort of walked out of the photo shoot with them on and, you know, forgot he was wearing them? You know, until various people started whistling. It's been a long time since Massachusetts has had a senator who's this fabulous.
Yeah, and Andy used to be a hand model, we learned, which is why he's...
Well, Jim Bunning was sort of auditioning for that to ABC News the other day.
That's right. Hey, he brings it around full circle.
Anyway. See what he did there? Well, you know, speaking of elections, what do you think about Blanche Lincoln, among others? I mean, this is something those of us on the progressive side have been talking about for a while, is what we need are more real Democrats. So now she's getting a challenge from the left and, of course, Move On and the AFL-CIO, the unions are helping the guy running against her.
Yeah, I don't know much about this Bill Halter guy who's the guy running against her. If there was anybody out there sucking around to be primaried, it was her. I mean, maybe Ben Nelson, but I don't know if there's another Democrat in Nebraska at all, let alone one that would, you know, challenge him from the left. I don't understand about these people like Blanche Lincoln. They're going to lose, okay? They're going to lose huge in the midterms. They have no chance, I don't think. So why not just go out fighting? Go out and be a Democrat. If you're not going to lose anyway, go out in favor of what 58% of the people in your state want.
See, that's what I'm saying. You know, Charlie, maybe this is kind of a cattywampus time politically, what with Mr. Handmodel getting elected and all. But, I mean, that's what I'm saying is, you know, I know that the common wisdom keeps being, they have to be really conservative because they're from a conservative state. Maybe not. Maybe what people want is a legislator with balls on either side of the aisle. That's what I'm saying. It's like, because now we have it in Arlen Specter's race. Michael Bennett in Colorado are drawing more liberal challengers.
Yeah, I've always thought primaries are good. I think primaries help because I think they sharpen the thinking and sharpen the positions of the eventual candidate on the issues. I think there should be primaries all the time. But in this case, I think you've got a Democratic incumbent being primaried essentially for not acting like a Democrat in Washington. There's no question what the Democratic voters in Arkansas want. I mean, they want the public option. They want some sort of health care reform.
Mm-hmm.
They don't like the Obamacare bill. Well, they don't like the fact that it's called Obamacare because they've been lied to for 7 or 8 months.
Right.
And the pushback has been inept. But they like all the parts of it.
Yeah, well, exactly. But isn't it interesting? I mean, of course, the White House backing Blanche Lincoln, backing Arlen Specter, and yet it's these conservative Dems that are giving the White House trouble, right, on health care and other issues.
This is the one thing I don't understand, is going out of your way to help people who are kicking you in the $750 pink leather shorts.
Yes.
All the time. it's one thing to
say. And meanwhile, Mr. Pink Leather Shorts voted with us on the
jobs bill that is 90% tax cuts. Do not be fooled by that one.
Yeah.
Believe me,
yeah.
on cap and trade, on health care reform, on reigning in Wall Street, you we ain't going to see him. Okay, he's got one vote he can wave in front of the electorate in 2 years to make them forget about $750 pink leather shorts, but which is a phrase I'm coming to love, by the way.
Yes.
But I don't understand it. You know, if you don't want to support the challenger in the White House, and you don't, and you really ought not to support the person who's been kicking you in the $750 pink leather shorts, then just stay out. Say it's a matter for the people of Arkansas. It's a matter for the people of Pennsylvania. You know, mm-hmm. let them decide. But don't go out of your way to court these people and support these people. It's a slap in the face for the people in those states who are saying, hey, look, this person isn't representing me anymore.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, and that's what I'm saying, is I think we're going to learn this lesson on health care. The American people want – legislators are going to get something done. I think what it is, and you and I have talked about this, it's anti-incumbent for – I don't know if it's anti-Democrat or anti-Republican.
I don't think
– It's anti this Congress that isn't getting anything done.
Oh, it's more than the Congress. I wouldn't be a governor running for re-election this year for anything, because that's going to be a bloodbath. Republican and Democrat. There'll probably be more Democrats lose because there are more Democratic governors. But, mm-hmm. I mean, the governors are at the sharp end of the stick on all of this thing, and they're all getting beaten up about it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're really – I mean, Deval Patrick's the only thing that's keeping him afloat in Massachusetts. It's a three-way race right now. But I think
there's a good chance that the hooker that's running in here in New York could take this thing this year.
What is going on in New York, by the way?
One of the Elliott Spitzer hookers is running.
Harold Ford had a kind of a glass jaw, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. He couldn't take it, obviously.
Yes. He's the only one that's not going to challenge Kristen Gillibrand, right?
Killer Gillibrand. Who knew, you know?
Exactly.
Wow.
All right. 46 minutes after the hour. Thank you, Charlie. We'll see you next Tuesday.
Talk to you next week, guys.
All right. Yay. There he goes. Charlie Pierce from the Boston Globe, author of Idiot America. 46 minutes after the hour. Back with Celebrity Stack and more on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, my God. That is hilarious.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Remember. 50 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Tim in Madison joins the party on the filibuster. Hi, Tim.
Good morning.
I'm
sorry, maybe I'm thinking old school here yet, but, you know, I think with the filibuster, we should still have people just not go into the office of the people in charge, say, oh, I'm filibustering, and then, you know, fill out the paperwork and leave. I think they should have to stand up on the Senate floor and say why they're filibustering, and then have to go and face the nation and go on to press conference and say exactly why they're filibustering without putting all the rhetoric in there. They should tell the American people why they think exactly why they do, and go on the House floor and filibuster, throw in a pair of Depends, and sit there all night until they're done.
Jim Bunning doesn't look far away from a pair of Depends. I thought there could be not an older, crankier senator than John McCain, but there he is.
Some people have speculated that he's actually losing his marbles, that he may be... Yeah,
really?
That's not,
you know, dare I say it, either side of the aisle, that's not senatorial behavior.
No,
you
it's
know,
not.
Flipping reporters off and dropping S-bombs.
Well, sometimes Alzheimer's can, one of the symptoms is aggressive behavior. My dad went through a period of that when he was...
Oh,
yeah.
Interesting. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, well, you know, it's like you were bringing up, Jim, about people have been saying Cheney's heart attack. You know, was there a time when Cheney was warm and lovable? I must have missed that part.
There
wasn't. Like, really? I don't. He's different. Okay. All right.
I got a heart.
It's like I must have missed that part where it hit the warm, charming years. I don't remember that. Okay.
Cheney, the salad days. Well, there weren't any salad days. Maybe. Yeah, have fewer heart attacks if he had a few more salads.
All right, Celebrity Stack, Katie Holmes, oh boy, she's preparing for baby number 2 is the rumor.
Really?
Oh, yes.
Congratulations to the happy couple.
She's a baby machine!
And Tom is a baby making machine.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Katie Holmes is reportedly undergoing Scientology auditing.
Oh,
dear. In preparation to... I'm not sure. Maybe someone could explain to me what this has to do with having a baby.
Maybe OBGYN might be a better choice.
That's what I'm thinking.
Scientology auditing.
Well, what do I know? I haven't had any action in the girl parts and I, you know, since the mastodons roam the earth.
She needs e-meter disconnect rundown auditing thing type deal.
Your lady parts are like a ghost town.
Shutters blowing in the breeze.
Tumbleweeds. Barroom doors flapping.
Ow.
Katie is said to have spent 4 hours at the Hollywood Scientology Center last week.
Mm.
Oh, that's right near my old house. Oh, that sprung another leak yesterday, Chris, by the way. Oh.
Yeah. It didn't even rain yesterday, Stephanie.
Yeah, no, it's about the 47th leak somewhere.
Whatever.
Yeah, cha-ching, cha-ching. She is said to have spent, I don't know if they're having leaks there, but she was at the Scientology Center, sparking rumors she's getting ready to expand her family. This is exactly what happened before she got pregnant with Suri. Tom has made no secret of the fact he'd like to have another baby.
Hmm.
According to the website run by the Church of Scientology, followers believe the health and sanity of the child begin long before birth.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so, that's probably true. I'm not sure that a Scientology audit has anything to do with that.
Mm-hmm.
Auditing is used to restore self-confidence, happiness, and spiritual freedom. It involves answering questions or following directions with the aim of being freed from unwanted barriers that inhibit natural ability.
And it also involves revealing your deepest, darkest secrets.
What if the barrier that she wants to be freed from is the one surrounding the property,
but
she can't get out of?
But auditing also reveals your deepest, darkest secrets to the Church of Scientology, so that's something to hold over your head in case you want to quit the Church of Scientology.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Last year, she reportedly underwent a Scientology sparkle makeover.
A what?
I got to get me one of these.
A princess sparkle pony makeover?
Hey, that's nothing to do with the sparkle pony. It's a purification rundown, an extreme detox where she had high doses of vitamins and spent 5 hours a day in a sauna.
Detox, a great idea if you're pregnant. And
5 hours a day in a sauna, is that healthy for someone?
No, it's not.
That would be like the cartoon where you come out like 17 sizes smaller, wouldn't it?
And you can also overdose on vitamins.
It's true. Some vitamins
absolutely
are toxic in high dosages.
Yes.
I think I'll skip the Scientology sparkle.
Good. Thank you.
The superficial reporting, the breaking news, Snooki almost died. Oh, dear.
Oh no.
That would have been a terrific loss. Yeah.
Because God needs to work on his aim, Snooki survived a glass roof. A glass roof collapsing at a Soho nightclub Saturday night, according to E! News. It's okay, Vin and I are still alive. OMG, roof just collapsed at Purim event, Snooki tweeted during
the... She was at a Purim event?
Apparently.
Is she Jewish?
Apparently.
I don't know.
Well, she's not Italian. I don't think any of them are
Italian. She's Chilean.
Chilean, that's where she went. Oh, wow.
She said, we thought the DJ was beating the beat hardcore, but nope, the roof couldn't handle Snooki and Vin.
Oh, boy.
Superficial writes, great, so apparently Snooki's just like a cockroach and can't be killed. When the robot apocalypse rips everyone else out, she'll still be scuttling around frantically searching for tanning beds. Her and John Boner will just...
Yeah.
By the way, I was at CNN yesterday. Guess who I saw again?
Who?
Christiane Amanpour.
Did she remember you? No.
No, she seemed
and
to go very quickly.
Yes.
She walked very quickly by me before I could bring up the coming on the radio show again.
There's that woman again.
But there's been... you remember I ran into Anderson Cooper in hair and makeup, and I also pestered him on to come on the show. How's that going?
I got a thing with a guy I can't possibly...
They always tell me yes to my... Why, of course, I'd love to.
Didn't you also run into Andy Borowitz at CNN?
Yes.
Yeah, he's put us off until the end of spring.
Really?
Yes.
Maybe his phone line is frozen. Okay.
No, we just got an email from him this morning, as a matter of fact.
Well, there's been a lot of buzz that Anderson Cooper has been talking to CBS for the anchor job, replacing... Oh. Katie Couric when her contract expires in May 2011. A spokesperson for Cooper tells Politico, though, reports that Cooper has recently met with CBS regarding the anchor position are false.
Mm, okay.
So, next time I'm in hair and makeup, I'll try to get a definitive answer from him.
And I'm sure he'll tell you. Oh, did I tell you I saw him and a friend of his at our Beat Celebrity gym?
The same. Good. That was quite a pregnant pause.
Yes, I saw him at our B Celebrity Gym.
You saw Anderson Cooper?
Absolutely. It was a couple of weeks ago. I forgot to tell you this. Yeah.
When did as soon as I leave, my B Celebrity Gym in Hollywood starts getting A-list celebrities.
Yes, indeed.
And that's probably what happens. Like, oh, Stephanie Miller's gone. Okay.
Thank God.
She's in New York. Oh, thank God.
And he was with a friend.
What are you insinuating?
58.
The workout buddy is what you say. A very personal trainer.
58 minutes after the hour, right back with Right Wing World on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 6 minutes after the hour. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice of deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Mama on Joy Behar is up in the YouTube section.
Yep. Thanks to Shino.
Joy Behar, love her, was on the CNN Headline News last night on the Joy Behar. And then also in the photo section, there is a compromising photo of me and the number two. Senator,
yes.
Senator Dick Durbin. Here's the thing I was saying. I wasn't trying to make it a compromising photo. Think I'm just naturally slutty.
Right. You couldn't help yourself.
I was not doing a reach around. I really wasn't. As somebody pointed out, I really was not. I just was snuggling him.
You've only done that to Bernie Sanders.
Yes. Oh, yes. Yesterday I was on Joy Behar with Bernie Sanders, whom I also love.
You must have been shocked.
You missed my big plot, Jim. Here's the thing, is there was a story in Politico about how if something should befall Harry Reid politically, that Dick Durbin might be the next majority leader.
Interesting.
So you see, I would have a compromising photo of myself with the next majority leader, which could get me an invitation to play basketball at the White House, because he's very close to the president. You see,
that's a stretch.
I'm always thinking.
Yeah, I don't know.
All right. Oh, let's see. George writes with the breaking news. You know, tomorrow, Chris, a very big day for the Stephanie Miller broadcast.
Why?
Well, because we debut in Syracuse.
Yes, we do. Tomorrow.
Hey.
I'll tell you why this is big news, Jim. Citadel Broadcasting has announced, Syracuse announced an exciting new format coming soon on 105.9 FM.
Wow.
Oh, my goodness. It's one of those their big FM sticks.
Wow.
Next week, the company will launch Central New York's first commercial FM talk station, 105.9 The Big Talker.
Does that mean they're going to hear us in Lackport?
Well, they can already hear us in Lackport.
They can hear us in Lackport because I'm on the WKBW in Buffalo.
It's right down the transit from the thing.
Exactly. This is way up the transit. Syracuse is way up the transit from Lackport. However, here's the funny part of the... So this isn't a conservative or a liberal talk station, Jim. The program hosts, according to the press release on 105.9 The Big Talker, will include...
Stephanie Miller.
Oh, look who's mentioned first.
Hooray!
Michael Smirkanish, Dave Ramsey, and Mark Levin, who I'm sure will be thrilled that he got mentioned last and I got mentioned first.
Stephanie Miller. One of the most popular and funny liberal radio hosts in the country.
Oh, why, thank you. You'll have to do liners for me now.
Oh, that'd be great.
Say it, Mark. Coming up next, one of the most popular.
That means you're probably going to have to do liners for him, though.
I know.
You could call him sarcastic.
Yes.
Sarcastic.
You'll love that.
I'm going to have to see him soon at the radio convention here in New York.
Anyone who knows Stephanie Miller, and there aren't many, knows she has no audience.
Mm-hmm.
She's been up and coming for 20 years. She's sarcastic and ultra left wing.
There's your liner note right there.
And I'm the same station as you. It's their worst nightmare. Oh, no. They're letting liberals on our stations.
You know, Michael Smirkanish can have a... kind of liberal streak every once in a while.
Yeah, he's more small conservative.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, exactly.
He's no Glenn Beck.
No.
Mark Levin thinks I'm a small C, too, but
in an LA, yes.
Scientists have created I'm just saying I'm celebrating our launch on a big FM mix station tomorrow. Scientists in Korea, Jim, have figured out that when you oxygenate booze, it sobers you up faster and helps prevent hangovers. The next day, they've created hangover-free booze.
Oh, wow. Right.
Yeah. Oh, that means Kim Jong-il could you know, conceivably drink a...
I don't take the oxygenated raguvulin.
Oxygenate what?
Raguvulin. It's a single malt Scotch whiskey.
Yeah, but wouldn't that mean your Scotch has bubbles in it?
Yeah, and the oxygen in booze does reduce hangovers. It also cuts down on how long you're drunk for.
Oh.
What's the point of that?
That's actually good news.
I suppose.
For people who do that sort of thing.
Here is, you know what, for speaking of a girl that comes from up the transit from Buffalo, from Lackport, the home of chicken wings, well,
yes.
Buffalo in general, the chicken wings are the prices are soaring.
Really?
The chicken wing craze is
buy stock
out.
In chicken wings.
The
it's
chicken...
getting more expensive to be a wingman or woman these days. The skyrocketing cost of chicken, they used to be throwaway parts.
Yeah. Which is why the people in Buffalo...
You're not using them anyway.
Latched onto them.
Yeah.
You're a flightless...
Poor, wingless chickens in Buffalo.
You're a flightless bird. You don't need those. Just pour some gravy on
it. Wait a minute, did they say...
Causing restaurant and tavern owners to raise menu prices and threatening to put some of them out of business.
Did they say the chicken wing craze? I've been eating chicken wings since college.
Well, yes. Apparently they've just
gotten
more popular.
Okay.
I used to love me some wings.
They're going to have to start taking the wings right off the buffaloes.
You know what's going to happen, Chris?
What?
People are going to have to resort to just the beef on wet.
Oh.
And what is that
another
again?
Thing that it's beef on a... It's a roast beef sandwich on a Kemmerwick roll.
Sounds a bit like bleep on a shingle, but...
Yeah, it does.
It is not on a shingle. It's really good. It's the foods that I grow up... you know what? I hone my little gray fangs on those foods. Buffalo.
Have you ever heard of an upstate New York treat called a Speedy?
No.
It's
what is this?
It's some
sounds
kind
illegal.
Of it's some kind of beef sandwich. Yeah.
Does it speed your
it speed right through
speed
you
to the bathroom? Yeah. What's that?
No, but I think either Rochester or Syracuse has a Speedy festival.
Hey, this is really good. Oh boy, I gotta go.
Oh, I got it. Sorry about the carpet. All right, let's finish up right wing world, or excuse me, celebrity stack before we dive into the right wing world. A somewhat baffled White House spokesman says President Obama did not, in fact, call Tiger Woods to offer support, as was widely reported over the weekend.
Who reported that?
I think this one makes more sense.
I think Tiger Woods reported that.
Oh.
Yeah. A spokesman for Bill Clinton didn't immediately have an answer to the question of whether it was reported he had called Woods. That would make a little more sense.
Yeah.
So here's in fact, what he would probably call Woods support, wouldn't he, Jim?
He's his wingman.
Good job.
Yeah. Nicely done. Oh, hey, since you're not seeing Finlin anymore.
Since you're in rehab, can
she
I have
and her
your
sister
leftovers?
Can,
oh, Lord. There's got to be some old cocktail hostesses just, like, in his couch and stuff left over, right?
Sure.
Okay. All right. So, the Jay Leno show was, or the Tonight Show was back, right, last night?
Yes.
It's back on the air last night.
Conan O'Brien reminds me of me. He tweeted last week that he interviewed a squirrel in his backyard. That's what I did in my years out of work. I just interviewed the dogs and various critters in my backyard.
You're Stephanie Pupkin.
Oh, boy. Wow-wee, Jim. Octoplet's mother, the Octomom, says she doesn't plan on having more children unless she gets married. If she does happen, she'd have only just one more child.
Uh-huh.
Just one more.
Mm. One really big one.
Entirely. Huh?
One really big one.
I was going to say.
Size of the Jolly Green Giant.
Do they have a surgery that... All right. Madonna, I always say his name wrong. What's her boy toy's name?
Jesus Luz.
Jesus Luz. She got him a record deal.
Can he sing? Do we know this?
Does that matter?
When has that ever stopped anybody?
Oh, the world's going to hell.
Check this out. Oh, the power of love. She's agreed to allow her former label, Warner Brothers, to use some of her iconic back catalog in return for signing him.
Wow.
Boy, that must be some
well,
good...
Well, he's no Bismarcky, but...
Hey, Bismarcky was back, wasn't he? Hey, what the hell did he have to do with clean energy? He was back performing, I heard, in the White House.
Yeah, he wrote.
I don't know what he has to do with clean energy. Wouldn't that
he rewrote this song in support
to melt?
In support of clean energy?
I'm sure it'll be much better with the new lyrics.
Amy Winehouse has a new addiction. She spent $15,000 on shoes in one afternoon.
Well, okay.
She's better than spending it on rock.
20 pairs of shoes in one afternoon.
Okay. That's, I mean, you know, some people do that, I suppose. Not me, but...
Brian in New Jersey supports Senator Jim Bunning. You're the one. Hello, Brian. Welcome.
Hey, Stephanie. How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
First of all, off topic, while I was in the hold, I heard you guys, I won't mention the product name, but I heard you guys discussing a exercise program that I'm a firm believer in. So if anybody's considering using that program, 1,000,000%, it's the greatest thing I ever did. So
P90X. Really awesome.
Yes,
you're talking about P90X?
The greatest exercise product on the market, in my view. It's changed my
unsolicited testimonial.
Holy moly. All right, go ahead.
Yes. I was flipping through the station, not a regular listener. I am a conservative, but I did catch when you were talking a little tongue-in-cheek about Senator Bunning, and I missed the earlier part of the show, so I don't know if you discussed at all, you know, what his actual vote and statements were on the Senate floor, if you guys were just talking about the aftermath with the reporters.
We actually played his actual statements from the Senate floor. Why do you support what he's doing?
Well, his statements were, hey, I'm for extending unemployment benefits and this bill. However, no one has proposed a way to pay for it. And basically, everybody in the Senate is for this bill, and nobody's proposing a way to pay for it. So if we can't figure out a way to pay for things that we're all in support of, how are we ever going to figure out a way to pay for anything?
Okay.
So he did not.
Brian, well then, yep. Why didn't he say that exact same thing when President Bush was shoving those tax cuts for the rich down our throats through reconciliation?
Two wars that were not paid for. How come he never had an objection to that? Thank you for calling. I should have. All right. Thank you. I should have dropped out after the P90X.
Yeah.
Apparently he had nothing after that. All right.
He stunned him into silence.
I didn't even mean to. All right.
Hamana.
Funny he should bring up P90X.
What time?
Yeah. As you know, Mama has. I'm in the midst of the P90X challenge. I urge you to take it with me. That guy, seriously. Chris, how many of those letters do we get?
We get quite a few of them, and quite a few tweets.
Yeah, unsolicited like that. People, I'm telling you, it's spreading. I've seen like advertisements were in magazines and stuff. I think it's just because you know what it is. It's so simple. It just works. It's a workout that includes strength training, cardio, yoga. Every day is different. I always look forward to what my new DVD is. I can do the workout at home. I tend to be the kind of person that does the same thing over and over, and then you don't get any progress. P90X forces you, and you know me, Chris. I don't stretch enough.
Right.
You've seen me. I always bomb out of spinning class at the gym, and
get there late and you leave early.
And I've always resisted taking yoga and whatever. But this like forces you to do all the stuff you need to do to get in the best shape of your life. Take the P90X challenge with me. Check this out. You can get a 90-day radio exclusive in-home trial right now. You can try it with Mama for the full 90 days. If you aren't completely satisfied, return it for a refund. Hey, listen to that right-wing guy that just called. I mean, for God's sakes, he was wrong about everything except P90X.
Except P90X. That's right.
Call 800-509-9438. That's 800-509-9FIT. Or easier, I would just go to stephaniemiller.com right now, click on the P90X banner, and get your special radio deal. All right, 18 minutes after the hour, back with Right Wing World and more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Damn it, Jim. You made me snarf on my keyboard again. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Bring in the noise. Bring in the funk. 23 minutes after the hour.
Is that what we're doing?
Mm-hmm. 1-800 and the truth and the first choice.
Yeah.
1-800. Step 1-2. The phone number. Trudy in Binghamton. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Trudy.
Hi, Steph Mooks. I was going to tell you what a speedy is.
Oh, yeah.
A speedy. That's the Western New York delicacy that is what?
Actually, it's more of a Southern Tier delicacy. It's marinated chunks of meat. Some people actually do veggie speedies with, like, textured protein. But it's marinated chunks of meat. Everybody in Binghamton and the area has, like, their own recipe for the marinade. You put it on a grill on a little stick. You grill it. And then you take the stick and you put it in a slice of Italian bread. You hold on to the bread. You slide the stick out. Mm. And there's your speedy.
It sounds good.
That sounds really good. Yeah.
That sounds really good.
Not recommended for people on P90X.
Damn it. All right. All right. Thank you, Trudy. I could P90X-ize it, couldn't I? It's only grilled something.
Well, if you can make a vegetable speedy, absolutely.
Okay.
And plus, on P90X, you need protein. And
well, exactly.
Meat is protein.
It's
so.
I'll find a way bread that'll get you.
Well, yeah.
All right. Let's dive into the right-wing world, shall we, kids, see what's doing? Oh, my, looky here. It's our friend Joe Scarborough from that there Morning Joe show.
Oh, what's he doing here?
Well, actually, telling the truth up for something weird for right-wing world.
Listen, the Republicans don't have clean hands on reconciliation. You can go back Reagan, Bush. People use it when they can get away with it.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
This moment of truth brought to you by Starbucks. Okay. This is the only show that has more product placement than mine.
Yeah, well.
All right. Actually, I would say USACoffeeCompany.com. Click on the banner ad on StephanieMiller.com, won't you? Drug-addled gas bag Rush Limbaugh. What? You know, I heard about this. What the hell is he talking about?
Okay. Louise Slaughter was telling the story in the healthcare summit about, I think it was a friend of hers, who couldn't afford dentures, so she used, I think it was her mother's dentures, and it didn't fit well, and, you know, it was painful to wear, but that's all she could afford.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so he...
You know, I'm getting so many people. Let's Louise Slaughter come in on the dentures. I'm getting so many people. This is big. I mean, I get a one-time mention for a laugh, but there are people out there that think this is huge because it's so stupid. I mean, for example, well, what's wrong with using a dead person's teeth? Aren't the Democrats big into recycling? Save the planet. And so what? So if you don't have any teeth, so what? What's applesauce for? Isn't that why they make applesauce?
What? He's so compassionate.
I see. Oh, well, that was just a moment of compassionate conservatism there.
Yeah.
Brought to you by the dark-addled gas bag. Okay. That was a little recycling joke, Jim. Get it?
Democrats recycle.
Yeah, this is more the theme, isn't it, that, you know, the Democrats telling real stories about real people that were really affected by the lack of health care or health insurance, and that was emotional blackmail.
Limbaugh's a sociopath. Mm-hmm. He has no capacity for compassion.
Mm-hmm. All right, Charles Krauthammer. Oh, by the way, Jim, you missed it earlier on Fox and Freaks.
Mm-hmm.
Senator Jim Bunning was referred to as brave.
By Gretchen Carlson. Fearless. Mm-hmm.
Fearless. Mm-hmm. He's fierce.
Fearless. Yes. Here is Charles Krauthammer on the Brit Bear.
I think what he's doing here is exposing the incredible hypocrisy of the Democrats.
Oh, really?
We have spoken about deficits and debt. The president spoke about it in the State of the Union address. Mm-hmm. He touted the pay-as-you-go system, which, of course, is a farce. You run up against even a small expenditure like this, a third of 1% of the spending in the government, and you can't raise the $10 billion. He's exposing it here.
Ah, that's funny, Jim, because if you know, at first glance, you would think it's more of a... Because, as we just mentioned to our right-wing caller, Jim Bunning, you see, never said a peep about pay-as-you-go for the two wars that were not paid for and the tax cut for the top 1% of George Bush. Didn't say peep about...
No. That wasn't important then.
No.
But now, suddenly, health care, who needs that?
Which I think, if I'm not crazy, would be the dictionary definition of hypocrisy.
Yes.
Charles Krauthammer, but thanks for checking in. Bill Kristol on the Brit Bear.
Believe me, I believe if all members were released to vote as they think right, honestly, is this bill good for the country, given what we now know after a year of debate, given what we now know about the examples of Massachusetts and Indiana, this bill could not pass the House or the Senate.
The example
can
of Massachusetts.
Can you believe they keep using the senator fold? For God's sake.
Right.
No, they have health care in Massachusetts.
Exactly. It was not a referendum on health care.
And he voted for it.
Yes, and it's more liberal than the current plans being put forward. Senator.
I get it. This angel is a centerfold. Okay. Sean Hannity. Oh, here we go. I'm sure this is inadvertent misinformation, Jim.
He plans to call on the Senate to use the nuclear option, also known as reconciliation, to pass the bill. But oddly enough, you won't hear Democrats using the phrase reconciliation. Nope. They have decided to rebrand the term, instead calling it a simple majority.
Well, yeah, that's what it is.
That's
exactly what it is.
Conversely, not the nuclear option. Wrong. moron. Get a brain, Moran.
God, he really is stupid, isn't he?
But that's what they're doing it on my teleprompter.
Oh.
Rachel played a whole this clip of, like, everybody on Fox calling it the nuclear option, which they know is completely a big fat lie.
Must
29.
Must have been in the morning memo from Roger Ailes.
Uh-huh. 29 minutes after the hour. Back with more Right Wing World as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Dude, I'm a girl. Okay, our girl parts are like a spider web. Sometimes you're going to catch stuff you don't want.
Really? Maybe yours are like a spider web.
Or nothing. It is the Stephanie Miller
Little Miss
show.
Can't be wrong.
Yeah.
34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Sean Hannity telling us what Americans want.
The majority of Americans are calling on President Obama and the Democrats to scrap their health care reform bill and start over.
No, they're
but
not.
All signs are indicating this will not happen, and it appears the president plans to turn his back on bipartisanship and ram this bill down your throat.
By all Americans, he means the Republicans.
Yeah. What's interesting, a year ago, I never remember Fox News reporting, Jim, that the majority of Americans wanted health care reform, including a public option. They didn't report on any of those polls.
Now they're interested in those polls.
Yes. And yet now, since the Republicans have succeeded in muddying the waters, they report that pretty much every day.
Yep.
Despite the fact that, as the president pointed out, when they're polled on each every component of what's actually in the bill, instead of the Republican lies, Americans are largely for it, of course. Oh,
and
Riley.
Those who aren't for it think it's not going far enough.
Exactly. O'Reilly on Obama.
Obamacare in its present form cannot happen. We don't have the money. Politico says Mrs. Pelosi doesn't have the votes, and we should all pray that's true.
Yeah, we should also pray because according to the landmark survey, 275,000 more Americans will die this decade if we don't get from lack of health insurance.
They've got it coming. They're all liberal commie fascists anyway.
We should all pray for that. We should basically just do whatever Mary Catherine Hamm says. She's the O'Reilly internet expert.
Here's the problem. What people don't buy is Obama's argument that he's going to fix entitlements and spending by spending more and adding more entitlements. They just don't buy it because it doesn't make sense. And he's living in this Washington liberal world where he can use fake money. And you just can't forever and ever and ever. Right. And the American people are realizing that and they're calling him on it.
That's funny because economists on both sides of the aisle say that he's pulled us back from the next big depression.
Oh, economists.
Mary Catherine Hamm doesn't understand.
Economists, what do they know? She has horse teeth.
Oh, Chris.
And the horse wants them back.
All right.
I am Mr. Another... Ed.
She has a large smile.
All right. That concludes Right Wing World. If I had to deal with the douche nozzles and ass hats of today's Republican Party, I'd be chain smoking like a mojo if I were the president.
Really?
Robert Gibbs on the president's smoking. Robert Gibbs, the White House press secretary.
While he's quit smoking, he is occasionally falls off the wagon when it comes to that, and like many who have struggled with kicking that habit.
Neil sends me the latest to Andy Borowitz. You know, if we can't get him booked right this second, we'll just do his... I'll just read his Borowitz report.
Okay.
Obama to GOP, I will quit smoking if you quit being... That's the D word. Republicans have it harder to break, experts say. President Obama today threw down a new gauntlet in the battle over health care reform, telling his Republican opponents, here's the deal, I'll quit smoking if you quit being... While most political observers expected the GOP leadership to reject the president's offer out of hand, House Minority Leader John Boehner suggested that he and other top Republicans would take seriously Mr. Obama's challenge to cease their like behavior. We want what's best for the American people, Boehner said. If that means making a supreme sacrifice, which means stopping being indefinitely would be, we certainly would consider that. But according to Dr. David Logsdon, who studies addictive like habits at the University of Minnesota Medical School, it may be easier for President Obama to quit smoking than for congressional Republicans to stop being such enos. It's one of the most stubborn addictions out there. Medical science has yet to invent an effective patch.
Oh, dear. Oh. Oh, and guess what?
Yes.
Shano has a new smoking montage.
Hey.
No, Shano.
On the smoking, the president continues to chew nicotine gum. While he's quit smoking, he occasionally falls off a wagon, like many who have struggled with kicking that habit.
Enough!
It's like I picked the wrong week to quit smoking.
Have you stopped smoking?
You know, I have, but what I said was that, you know, there are times where I've fallen off the wagon.
And, well, wait a minute. That means you haven't stopped.
Well, the fair enough.
Yes. Yes, we can.
Thank you, Shano. Oh, by the way, Sue in Rockwell, Maryland, Chris, can I have some Seussian-type music? She did actually write the cat, because apparently, is it Dr. Seuss's birthday today?
Yes.
Okay. So, in honor of Jim Bunning, she wrote The Cat is an Asshat.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. This is from Dr. Seuss's new book, The Cat is an Asshat, the Jim Bunning story. The sun did not shine. I was too mean to pay all the people who needed to eat on any given day. I sat there watching TV with a frown and a pout, and I said how I wish we could throw that Bunning out. So all we could do was sit, 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 and we did not like him, that crazy dumb...
Oh, that's...
All right, that's... Anyway, Sue and Ronald, Maryland, thank you. You can go by foot, you can go by cow. Jim P.D. Bunning, will you please go now?
Aww.
That is an ass hat. I love it. All right. The president, meanwhile, talking about edumacation yesterday.
We know that about 12% of America's schools produce 50% of America's dropouts. We'll not only challenge states to identify high schools with graduation rates below 60%, we're going to invest another $900 million in strategies to get those graduation rates up.
Yeah, thank God he's moving on. Tomorrow we're going to get his health care, you know, what his solution is. I mean, how he is going to want them to go forward and reconcile these two bills and get it done. Because we've got a lot of stuff to work on, schools, education, jobs. And, you know, look, Bunning was on CNN all over this morning, just not going to vote for the jobs bill. They're not going to help us on anything.
Nope, certainly not on education because they like their people dumb. Because they fall for the propaganda easier.
Yeah.
Exactly.
If we have more dumb people, the more they become Republicans.
Ah!
This is a problem we cannot afford to accept and we cannot afford to ignore. The stakes are too high for our children, for our economy, and for our country.
Oh, by the way, here is yet another... Grampy McCain, who is now the second crankiest Republican right after Jim Bunning... He announced he will introduce legislation preventing the Democrats from using reconciliation to change Medicare spending. Congress, by the way, has already approved the Medicare changes in the Senate health care bill, and the reconciliation package of fixes would only include a change to the payroll tax. On the whole, of course, a cynical move by Grampy and highly unlikely. Any rule change, of course, requires 67 votes. Republicans have constantly supported far larger cuts to the Medicare program than what Democrats are currently proposing and are always complaining that Medicare is an entitlement program that will bankrupt the nation. Now they're preparing to unveil an amendment designed to prohibit Democrats from reducing Medicare spending and extending the life of the program. I mean, you know what I mean, Jim? They'll just do anything, and it's not going to derail it. It's just
whatever
just
it is,
being asked
I'm against it.
It's just more enus, as Andy Borowitz would say. That loses something when you have to use the bleep, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. Go to borowitzreport.com and read it.
It's monosyllabic.
It's funny. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. All right, I was mentioning earlier, I want to get all y'all's take on the Democrat. It's funny, Rachel Maddow had Tim Kaine, the head of the DNC, on last night. And she was talking about the Blanche Lincoln race and others, and she'd like, be careful.
Yeah.
You're going to hear from there. I mean, I'm telling you, there is a sleeping beast out there that elected Barack Obama. I think they ignore at their peril, their, base. It's, you know, not this crazy activist, liberal, whatever. I think it's people in general, Jim, that want them to get something done. There's a reason we voted for this president in a Democratic majority is to get stuff like this done, like health care.
I already know a lot of Kyles who say they'll never vote for a Democrat again.
Because
they didn't get everything they wanted.
Yeah. She's faced with a primary challenge from Arkansas's Lieutenant Governor. Democratic Senator Blanche Lincoln found herself in the precarious position Monday of sending off angry liberal activists on the left as well as conservative Republicans on the right. to keep her seat in the Senate. Lieutenant Governor Bill Halter announced he would challenge her in Arkansas's primary. MoveOn.org is getting behind Halter, as is the AFL-CIO.
That could be helpful.
Yes.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So, yeah, I mean, two other, and as we know, we've talked about the two other vulnerable Democrats have drawn primary challenges, Arlen Specter from our friend Joe Sestak, whom we love, and Michael Bennett in Colorado. And, I don't know, Jim, we'll see this common wisdom. You know, Chris, you always say this, like, oh, well, you know, they have to be conservative from really conservative states and blah, blah, blah. I'm just saying, it seems like this year in particular, politics is all over the place, and they want people that are going to get something done.
We need to give the voters Democrats that they want to vote for. That's going to get people to the polls.
Speaking of that, I'm not so sure we're going to have a Democrat we want to vote for here in California for governor.
One of the points I was just going to make, why do you think Joe Lieberman's doing the stuff he's doing on Don't Ask, Don't Tell now? He's trying to help the White House because it's wildly popular in Connecticut, as is the public option, which he went out of his way. You know, so that's the problem. These people are just, he's trying to do whatever he has to do politically to keep power. But anyway, Lincoln has vowed to oppose any effort by Democratic leaders to push a health care bill through the Senate using special rules and a simple majority vote. But the challenge from Halter, who has the backing of progressives, could force her to rethink her position, which at least that would be great. In key states, declared and undeclared Democratic primary challengers are hoping to seize on an anti-incumbent sentiment that's running strong across the electorate. And that's what I've said, Jim. I think it's more anti-incumbent than anything. Right. I don't think it's Democrat or Republican. It's
definitely
this Congress.
Yeah, it's definitely that.
And to me, part of the problem with this Congress are these conservatives that are blocking what the majority of people in the country want and voted for.
And this tea bagger thing is going to bite the Republicans in the ass big time, I think.
Yes. Oh, we're going to ask Jim what he means by that. And I have. I was just getting to my tea bagger. Oh, my God, it's like we share a brain. Some days I don't know where you end and I begin.
Do you complete it? Hal gets in the way.
Jim Ward will teabag me when we get back. 45 minutes after the hour. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Kids can relate to this show. These guys aren't phonies.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. This hour of the Stephanie Miller Show brought to you by Napa. Napa know-how. You know what I'm talking about. Napa Auto Parts, the good stuff. All right, Larry in Illinois on the Teabaggers. Hello, Larry.
Hey, Stephanie. I'm thrilled to be on your show. I've been listening to you off and on for some time, even back in the Air America days.
Thank you.
Well, I just tuned in, and as soon as you said the word teabaggers, I knew I had to call in. I have a best friend that has been in between Fox News and his church, just been brainwashed by the catchphrases and what they claim the Tea Party movement's about. And I've tried to explain to him, you know, who's really behind this movement. You know, your Dick Armies, your Freedom Works, your Newt Gingriches and folks like that. But he just won't listen, and that's a problem I've run into with a lot of the folks that claim their Tea Party supporters. And, you know, when I first heard about this, I'll be honest, I thought, you know, at its base level, some of the ideas that were espoused were good, but then I decided something in my head said, wait a minute, you better check this out and see who's really behind it. And as soon as I saw who was behind it, you know, I couldn't have anything to do with it because it's a right-wing conservative movement all the way, but you can't tell people that, and it's really frustrating when you go up to some of these people and you just try to explain facts and they just don't want to hear it.
Yep, absolutely. Thanks for calling, honey. On the ABC's this week, Nancy Pelosi reiterated her belief the Tea Party movement is orchestrated from the Republican headquarters, but she also explained progressives share some of the views of the Tea Partiers in terms of the roles of special interest in Washington.
Sure.
And welcome Tea Partiers to join progressives in battling special interests. She said the Republican Party directs a lot of what the Tea Party does, but not everybody in the Tea Party takes direction from the Republican Party.
And so everyone hates the banks.
What's that?
Everyone hates the banks, the big banks.
Yes, exactly. And everyone hates the Supreme Court decision, except for Republicans in Washington.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a lot of, shall we say, AstroTurf as opposed to grassroots, but, you know, we share some of the views of the Tea Parties in terms of the roles of special interests in Washington, D.C. It has to stop. Jim, you were just saying you think, you know, this could blow up on them. What do you mean?
Because by appealing to the ultra nut job lunatic fringe, for whom nothing but armed insurrection will be enough, it's going to bite them in the ass big time. They're going to go after Republicans as well as Democrats. And then there's the other faction, the Ron Paul faction. Mm-hmm. The Ron Paul movement actually started the whole Tea Party
idea. And then he's just got burned by Tea Party blowback.
Yeah.
He's got Tea Party candidates now trying to dislodge him.
This has the potential of just breaking the Republican Party up into pieces.
Yeah, I know. We're like going, and we thought we were the only disorganized party.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, look at them. Yeah, because, you know, so first of all, he wins the straw poll, right, Ron Paul, at the conservative
at CPAC.
And now he's got a handful of teabaggers that are trying to dislodge him in Tuesday's Texas Republican primary. And, again, somebody made this point that I've been making about it's an anti-incumbent thing. We've got to throw the bums out factor. It doesn't matter if you have an R, a D, or an L next to their name. I mean, that's what, you know, we talked about this on Joy Behar, and I was on with Bernie Sanders. And, you know, he did say quite seriously, we shouldn't underestimate this. You know, you in terms of there are people out there, Jim, that are angry, right? I mean, there are, but I think it's just, and I think politically, you've got to figure out what that is exactly and why they're angry. Because, I mean, Sarah Palin yesterday said they should take over the Republican Party, the teabaggers, and I'm like,
which ones?
Yes, good idea. Yes, bring those crazy hats with the teabags on them. Because you don't look too crazy.
They've unleashed sort of this unfocused rage in people who, a lot of whom don't really know much about politics and don't know who to be angry at. So that's very volatile situation right there. And then the Libertarian faction is a whole another. If, you know, Ron Paul were to run as a third-party candidate.
Even Jeb Bush, did you see this? Said in an interview with Newsmax, he seemed dismissive of the viability of Sarah Palin for president. He said, my personal belief is for Governor Palin to be a successful candidate, she needs to take this charisma she has and add to it some depth of understanding
that would help,
of the issues. I mean, you know.
That's a gotcha question.
I know, but that's the thing. But I think in any time the economy is this bad, you're right, there's going to be anger.
Mm-hmm.
But you're right. You know, you have to, I think, focus it, because otherwise, a lot of it, like you say, just some of the people are there because the black guy's in the White House.
Yeah.
There's the birthers.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, how about this guy? Mike Stark, our favorite blogger friend, caught up with one of Maryland's Republican candidates for the Senate. He asked if he thinks President Obama should be impeached. He said not at this point,
but I think
the birth issue is still out there.
Oh, come on. Yeah.
He said, what I understand about Obama's upbringing and his background is he grew up in a system very different from the American culture.
Yes.
He was brought up in America.
In Hawaii.
Stark said, do you believe Barack Obama was born in the United States or not? No, I do not believe he was born in the United States, was his answer.
Hawaii was in the United States
by
the time he was born.
Yeah, it's weird they covered the potential tsunami, isn't it? That's not even in America, Hawaii. Why did they even... Arnold Schwarzenegger says he believes the Tea Party movement is not going anywhere.
Anywhere.
But he said it's only an expression of anger and disappointment. He said he has yet to see anything that distinguishes the movement as more than a backlash to the economic downturn. He also predicted the Tea Party movement will end when the economy recovers. In the end, when the economy comes back, I think the Tea Party will disappear again. It will, you know, twinkle and disappear.
They will twinkle.
Twinkle
and twinkle first before they disappear. And then I will send them to the surface of Mars where the eyeballs will pop out of their heads and things of this nature.
Is that a Tinkerbell reference? Will twinkle and disappear? I don't know.
Maybe it means something only in Austrian.
I think that may be true, though. I mean, if what economists are predicting, that the stimulus is working and the economy is improving, then suddenly people will be like, oh, never mind, I'm going home to watch semi-celebrities eat bugs on TV again.
Yeah. He's thinking about Star Trek, you know, where they get on the thing in the transport and they start to twinkle and then they disappear and these kinds of things of this nature.
Okay, GTK, that clears it up.
They beam them down to the surface of Mars where the eyeballs pop out of the heads. Ah!
And you have the prostitutes with the three boobs.
Yes.
Speaking of teabaggers, Marco,
Rubio.
Thank you. In Troy, did you hear about this? A little trouble over expenses. Florida politics abuzz with the leak of statements for the Republican Party American Express card held by Marco
Rubio,
which shows some charges for things that look like personal expenses.
Really?
Which I'm guessing are perhaps hair gel and other.
How personal?
Yes. I mean, how personal are we talking?
He's very well groomed.
We're talking Reverend Haggard type of personal expenses?
Uh-oh. I think Lindsey Graham is going to get teabagged to within an inch of his life. Did you hear what he...
What did he say?
He warned that his party will fall into irrelevancy if it continues to embrace climate change deniers.
Oh,
he
no.
He said, I've been to enough college campuses to know if you're 30 or younger, this climate issue is not a debate, it's a value. These young people grew up with recycling and sensitivity to the environment, and the world will be better off for it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, boy. He's gonna, and he looks like he wouldn't mind a teabagging.
Stop it. What are you insinuating?
That he's going to get teabagged because he's too liberal for today's Republican Party. That's what I meant.
Sure. Of course that's what I meant.
Of course it is. By the way, here's the quote of the day. Hill staffers are infuriated by Newt Gingrich, frankly. Because he said many Hill staffers are arrogant and never had a real job. One of them said, I'm sorry, I must have missed the part where Newt Gingrich actually had a real job.
Yeah.
Was he a history professor before he was a failed congressional candidate, a failed speaker, and a failed presidential candidate?
Ooh,
zing.
Frankly. Zing.
That's it for us today. I'd like to thank Chris LaVoy, Jim Warden, Miranda Moreno. See you tomorrow on The Stephanie Miller Show.